and include a sentence after that saying, many people in the United States think that the solution to the economic problems of the United States involves increasing government spending.
Okay!
Or you might say, contrary to these words, Republicans have about spending today.
Go. Head on to Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of the sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycon, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
I was afraid I wouldn't be on the air today. Journalism. But things worked out much better than anyone might have ever anticipated.
Who, what, when, where.
Well, in
why,
one way.
How.
In another way, we are getting buried in snow right now. It's right...
And in this case...
That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, nasty.
Freeze.
We're expecting somewhere around a foot of snow this evening in the... here in the hills, maybe not so much in the hollers. And it's not that dry, powdery January snow. It's that wet, gloppy, heavy, icky, ought to be falling in March snow. But who's
answer to the question is why? That is a right
dominated and, of course, we all had just more fun than most human beings deserve to have last night watching the State of the Union.
And it's
watching nasty people like Paul Brown from Georgia. He didn't scream out, "You lie," like Addison Wilson did last year, because Joe's not really his name.
Statement of
didn't do that. No, he tweeted,
when that
"President Obama, you don't love the Constitution. You're a socialist."
A majority in this
he thought
country.
He was only tweeting that to his 3,000 teabag and weirdo followers,
but, that apparently
but it got around the country just the same.
From writing it.
They don't change. The tone is not going to change because they have no interest in it. Yeah, it's probably a pretty good idea for me to kill the rerun stream. I was just talking right over myself. Oh, well, you'll have these things. Thank you. Thank you, News Ninja Susan. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. There's just too many things to do. Someday we'll have a full staff. And all I got to do is sit back and yap. And all the other buttons get pushed by someone else. But whatever. Whatever. We'll do fine. Yeah, and thank you, Jim, for letting me know the rerun stream was up. Susan came in first. Jim came in second. But thank you. I really appreciate the heads up, because I would have gone the whole show if you hadn't told me. And that would have really sucked. But at any rate... we're past the State of the Union. We know that we are in the middle of what we are told is a Sputnik moment. And everybody has gotten kind of all excited and so forth about a reference, the reference to oil, in which President Obama said, I don't know if you've noticed this, but oil's doing pretty good. Let's end the oil company welfare. And everybody says that that's real proof that the president is serious about moving into the future. And I'd be right there with folks, except for the fact that I was listening, because I listen for this kind of thing, because it's the kind of thing that I can't help but hear. And it was there last night. Did you hear those two hateful words? Did you hear the biggest lie in all of technological America, the entire technological world? Did you hear it when President Obama said, and we must use new technologies like clean coal? Just a little reminder here. Clean coal is not a technology. Clean coal is an advertising slogan that was ginned up 100 years ago by the coal industry. That's how long they've been hustling clean coal because it is the filthiest energy source on planet Earth. Really, it's even filthier than it's filthier than burning wood. Filthier than burning oil. Filthier than burning natural gas. Filthier than burning dung. Filthier than... you name it. If it can burn, it's not as dirty as burning coal. And coal is never going to be clean to burn. So, I'm a little nonplussed every time I hear those two hateful words, clean coal. Because as we all know, clean coal is a dirty lie. Say it with me. Clean coal is a dirty lie. Clean coal is a dirty lie. Clean coal is a dirty lie. With me? Good. But I'm sure we'll get into all of that stuff later tonight. Hey, is that a Sputnik? Oh, okay. No, that was just a moth. But it is Wednesday. We've made it to the middle of the week. It's all downhill to Friday, and apparently on ice, no less. They've declared a state of emergency already in the county immediately next to the one in which we live here. Power lines are snapping and so forth. So I went out and made sure there was plenty of gasoline for the generator and that the generator starts reliably. The generator was kindly contributed to us many years ago by Rick Goodner to make sure that we would be okay in circumstances like this. Nice, huh? Yeah. And so it's ready to go. We got plenty of little propane bottles. Got to say it that way for Hank Hill. Propane bottles for in case there's some sort of a power outage emergency. We've got a couple of little propane space heaters that take the little bottles, and we'll be able to stay nice and toasty warm. Just take them to wherever we need them. We'll be fine. So everything will be okay. Albeit cold. But it's the middle of the week. We're skiing downhill to Friday. Thanks, Clayton. Yeah. Staff? You with a staff would be half as much fun. Interesting definition of fun you're working with there, Clayton. And Clayton also notes coal may have caused a mass extinction. Yeah, what else is new? Did you read that article? I got that the other day. It suggests that what's referred to as the great die-off of, I don't know, the Cretaceous, Cetaceous, Pleistocene, whatever. I'll leave that to the paleogeologists and paleontologists. But it was somewhere in Siberia there was a massive volcano eruption, and apparently the coal beds underneath the ground caught fire. And the CO2 that got into the sea killed off 70% of the life in the sea. And the CO2 was generated by, what? Yeah, clean coal technology. God, I love it. You could just say it. But it's Wednesday. We're going to make it downhill to Friday. We're going to have some good conversations tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night. Middle of the week, hump day. But you know, of course, that it is ever so much more than that here at the Horn, because Wednesday means something special. It means Sunday past is past, and Sunday yet to come is yet to come. But we've got a chance, oh glory! After the fellowship dinner is done in the fellowship hall, and the deacons have squabbled over the last little morsel of peach cobbler and apple pan dowdy, and gone up to the parking lot to smoke their cigarettes, where nobody's watching, of course, except the heathens driving by that ought to be in church somewhere else. That's right. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Hallelujah, glory. Prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Come on in. Come on in, come on in. Don't put the cigarettes out. Come on in. Don't stand there in the vestibule. Don't fool with the little butter mints in the bowl. They have been there since Moses was a baby. They're so old, they're actually desiccants now. They're not actually candies anymore. Come on in and get your seat, because we're about to pass the plate around. You know, I told you last night that we are having some we've had some very good news this month. As of last night and into today, we need only 23 of you in the virtual congregation here on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Only 23 of you need to reach into the bottom of that collection plate. Please don't make change in the collection plate. That's just tacky. And just push that little PayPal button in the bottom of the collection plate as it comes around. It's right there on the website. Head on RadioNetwork.com under the tab, Contribute. There's a PayPal button there, and there is an address for sending snail mail contributions to the horn. We need 23 people. 23 people. Each to contribute $10 or some combination thereof. Last night, we had one individual of long good standing step in to take the place of 20 members of the Thrifty 250. 23 people. Push that little PayPal button for $10. That's less than 5 cents per program. 5 cents an hour. There aren't many bargains like that out in the world today. I saw a jar of jelly today that was $7. Granted, it didn't have any high fructose corn sweetener in it, but it was still $7 jelly. You'll have that. This program, however, less than 5 cents an hour. Amazing, isn't it? I think so. So, 23 of you, push the little button, and then I won't say a word about fundraising until February 1st. That will mark a lovely, lovely 6-day silent interim of this fundraising that is necessary to keep the conversation going, not just for me, but for you. More importantly, for a very, very significant word for us. 23 people. As we go to the minister of music for the offertory hymn, brothers and sisters, push that button. Push that button, and I will not send you a certified Bob Kincaid prayer hanky. I promise I will not. Now, if the minister of music will please lead us in offertory song. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Let's suck Ralston on the real raw and a brawl of suet. I love you. Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. It is time for Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Glory, glory, glory. Amen and amen. Come on down that blood red aisle. Do it now. You may never get another opportunity. You may never get another opportunity with every head bowed and every eye closed. Come on down that blood red aisle and fall on your knees right there at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of reason a-flowing through you. From the server on high, this is the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren, and I am Archpope, Deacon, Elder, Imam, Chief Rabbi Bob Kincaid, and I am here to heal you. Amen and amen. Glory. Yes. And I am proud to tell you about a fine, fine Christian man this evening. Amen and amen. We shall begin the lesson this evening going to the 18th chapter of Matthew and verse 9. Yes, indeed. No, let's back up to verse 8. Wherefore, King James Version, of course, because we all know that Almighty God spoke King James English. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. Ouch! It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Glory, hallelujah. And if thine eye, verse 9, offend thee, pluck it out. I said pluck, you heathen sinners, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell far. Amen and amen. Glory, glory on high. And I commend to you from the Southern Baptist Convention Clavern, I commend to you the Reverend Richard Land. When we get together and we's all just chums and buddies, we call him Dick Land. Reverend Dick Land made an announcement. Oh, glory, brethren and sistren, he's a-plucking out that offending eye. He's a-hopping around with stumps where his feet ought to be, 'cause he done cut 'em up and cast 'em off, glory, 'cause he don't want nothing to do with no interfaith organization that sits still for any religious freedom here in the new United States, glory, hallelujah. No, glory, no, Dick Land, Reverend Dick Land, Pastor Dick Land, heard from his right-wing flock, hallelujah. And Pastor Dick Land, well, he left the interfaith initiative started by the Anti-Defamation League. You know, that's one of them Jewish organizations made up of them Jewish people what killed Christ. They started them an interfaith initiative to tell them Muslims, them fascist Lamunists, that it'd be fine by them wherever they wanted to build them one of their mosques. That's right, brethren and sistren, the Southern Baptist Convention, and Dick Land, who was the member of that interfaith council, he done pulled out. He pulled out glory like a man of God, hallelujah, amen and amen. He done pulled out. 'Cause he said he didn't want anybody following the Southern Baptist Convention to think that the Southern Baptist Convention was a supporting Islam. And he done it for his sheeples. 'Cause the sheeples of the Southern Baptist Convention, they done said, Brother Dick Land, we don't want you there a-getting tainted, so pluck your eyeball out, I said. Pluck, you perverts. And get out of that interfaith group. interfaith group that supports that demonical religious freedom here in the United States of Jesus Christ Almighty America. Hallelujah. You just know that he went home a-whistling this little ditty, don't you?
We hear a lot of talk about the ecumenical movement. They say that we should get together and all be one big family. Catholic, Protestant, and Jew, Buddhist, Muslim, and Hindu. I guess they want the devil too in the ecumenical movement. They always talk about the golden rule and the Sermon on the Mount. But whether you've ever been born again, modern now to talk about the ecumenical movement. The old time way's not good enough, it all must be forgotten. The Virgin's birth, the Trinity, the blood of Christ on Calvary. They've made a better way, you see, through the ecumenical movement. They always talk about the golden rule and the Sermon on the Mount. But whether you've ever been born again, doesn't even seem to count. I know
people said,
amen, amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Brother Falwell, a roasting in hell, because you are. Amen and amen. The Ecumenical Movement with Robin and Crystal Bernard. Remember that show Wings a few years ago with the little blonde hottie there that was having a relationship with Joe or Frank or whichever one of them Hardy Boys was on flying the planes? Yeah, that was Crystal Barnard, but before she was ever a big TV star, she was a star of the old-time gospel hour. Amen. From Lynchburg, Virginia. And she used to get up and sing for Brother Jerry Falwell. Brother Michael, Brother Kid A from the chat room asking a question. We allow questions here in the Cathedral of Common Sense. It's not like the First Baptist Herpetological Sanctuary and Evangelical Family Worship Center. We allow questions. Michael says, Dick Land, isn't that the planet Dr. Wongberger is from on Aqua Teen Hunger Force? You see, Brother Michael, you have been gifted with the Holy Spirit's gift of perspicacity and perspicution and so forth and so on. And yes, it is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. The religious right have been all over poor old persecuted Dick Land's work with the Interfaith Faith Coalition on mosques, Buster Wilson, and you know, when your name is Buster, you gotta have something on the ball because your name ain't. Buster Wilson of the American Family Association Radio Network, which is highly well-funded. He's been a-saying and a-writing things about Brother Dick Land that would cause even us heathens to blush. He said, I will not get involved in helping make the way more readily open for Muslims to advance the cause of their false gospels. And that's the line that I feel Dick Land has crossed. He has joined a group that is now filing court briefs to help Muslims get mosques built around in this country. Did it ever strike you as a little bit, just a little bit curious that mosquito and mosque all use the first five letters, mosquito and mosque? Mm-hmm. That God hides these little nuggets of wisdom and perception inside his own mother tongue of English so that we may heed them and be instructed. Hallelujah, glory, help, yes, amen. Fight for their right, but don't help them advance a gospel that is no gospel at all and will send people to hell. And I disagree, says Buster Wilson. I disagree that the radical jihadists are a recent small percentage of the Muslim religion. Really? I feel that nonviolent, peaceful Muslims are the small minority of that religion's population. Just my opinion. But the truth is, fact is that every single suicide bomber rocket launched into Israel, the stop blown up plane downed, is done so in the name of Islam and the Koran. Someone help me understand where I'm wrong about that. And Brother Buster, I'm here to do exactly that, because I do seem to recall a plane downed into a building in an IRS building in Austin, Texas last year that did not have a Muslim suicide bomber in it. It had a right-wing libertarian behind the stick. Glory, glory, yes. I seem to recall a backpack IED that was disarmed and defused only moments before it could have slaughtered untold people in Spokane, Washington, and it had a T-shirt in it that somebody had had when he was a-running in a relay for life. Amen. Glory. So you little every single suicide bomber? No. How about Richard Poplawski, who answered the door and gunned down police in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because he'd been a-listening to the Glenn Beck? Or how about Jim David Adkison of East Tennessee, who had been a-reading Hannity and Bernie Goldberg and Bill O'Reilly when he went to shoot up the liberals at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation? Yes, indeed, or the man who went to shoot up the Tides Foundation, who understood that he had to do it because he was a-listening to the Glenn Beck. Amen and amen. But still, Brother Dick Land, he ain't going to have nothing to do with helping advance the cause of religious freedom in the United States, because you know what? The only religious freedom the right-wing evangelical movement needs is its own. So there's our prayer meeting story for the evening. And that's about enough. So we will, it's about 28 minutes past the hour. We will take a little break and come back. You are listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice on Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense. You are listening to the horn. Amen and amen.
I like to think I've earned my reputation for rushing in where angels fear to tread. I'll take you home with me to congregation. We'll all get together in my tent. I'll make a dirty little religion out of heaven. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you. I'll make a dirty little religion out of loving. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you.
you. I think a dirty little religion heaven. It's a dirty little religion, hallelujah. Dirty little acolyte, dirty little world, learn the fundamentals of desire. Can I get a witness to my testimony? Can I get amen from the choir? Dirty little religion. Dirty little religion. Dirty little religion. I try to take the bull by the horns. I'll show you where I get my inspiration. Where we plow and where we plant the corn. I'll make a dirty little religion out of loving. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you. I'll make a dirty little religion out of loving. A dirty little religion, hallelujah. Dirty little acolyte, dirty little one, burn the fundamental of desire. Or can I get a witness to my testimony? Can I get an amen from the choir?
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait one second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And don't worry about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
Too much sex, too little Jesus. Faces been a trouble team. Close in her and I'll see it.
just going to play a little bit of that, but you can't start on the drive-by truckers, too much sex, too little Jesus, and not let it run all the way out. I mean, that was as much for my enjoyment as it was, I hope, for yours. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and don't you love it? See, that song has a special resonance for me because I remember growing up in the same neck of the woods where the boys from the drive-by truckers are from. And I can't count. If I just sit here and start thinking, I can't count the number of kids in and about the same age as I was as a teen whose mama and daddy caught them smoking the dope. And the next thing you know, they were off to Christian rehabilitation because it was clear that they were mentally ill and had been afflicted by demons that made them smoke the marijuana. They'd just disappear for 6 weeks, 6 months, and come back with this sort of glassy look on it, and the Jesus lasted, about 15 minutes. Yeah. But that whole, too much sex, too little Jesus. The drive-by truckers, a dandy. Just a dandy. By the way, Clayton passed along a message. He said, would you please ask Sister Susie to get off her knees in the cloakroom and get her sin butt into the pew. Thank you, Clayton. Clayton keeps close tabs on things like that. It's about 20 minutes before the hour on this prayer meeting Wednesday, and I want to, we'll get away from the religious gobbledygook. Just a quick reminder. You've heard for a few nights now, you've heard the Bubble Genius ads. They are indeed fine people and excellent, I mean excellent, makers of soap. We receive a care package from them every so often. I mentioned clean coal a little bit ago. The only clean coal that exists in the known universe comes from Bubble Genius because they have an adorable little bucket full of lumps of coal black soap. And that is the only clean coal, because it ain't coal, but it will get you clean. That is the only clean coal in the universe. Give them a try. In a world of massive corporate sudsiness, where God only knows what chemicals are going all over your skin and whatnot, this stuff is rock solid and darn good. I mean, who wouldn't like to have a rub-a-dub ducky rubber duck soap? Come on, you got a child in your life, they're going to go wild over that. I got to tell you, I have no interest whatsoever in the big snowflake soap, because I'm pretty much done with soap, but I'm really partial to the Man of La Washa, ha ha ha, Don Quixote soap, with the, is that a Picasso, that classic Don Quixote image? Yeah. The bagel soap, really, it looks just like a bagel. There is all kinds of great stuff there. Give them a try, and support liberal business. We want a liberal infrastructure in this country. Well, whether it be a little internet radio network or just absolutely masterful concoctors and compounders and molders and shapers and producers of soap, it ain't going to happen without we support them. I'm proud to say these things about my friends at Bubble Genius. We met them last year at Netroots Nation, and it was one of the most pleasant and fortuitous meetings introductions that we had there. I'm looking forward to seeing them again in Minneapolis. Bubblegenius.com. Check it out, and just buy yourself a bar. You don't have to spend $100. I'm sure they'd love it if you would. By all means, if you do decide to buy something at Bubble Genius, drop them a note and say you heard about them on the Horn, that Bob told you about them. Because that way they'll know that their support for us has resulted in our support for them. Because there's just not enough liberal businesses out there that we can afford to ignore them and continue being just little consumer sheeple in the aisles of our local grocer. Right? Right. Now, there was a story that I wanted to get to all last night, didn't, and wanted to make sure that I do get to this evening. And I want to try to put the whole Bradley Manning thing in a little bit of perspective. You all know that I had a cup of coffee in law school. I actually got the sheepskin. I have a diploma. And this is in no means legal advice, and it may not necessarily apply anywhere except inside the fevered imaginings of my own brain. But it is what I recall from those 3 incredibly expensive years of education. You know, I view a law school education as not necessarily something that people who want to be lawyers only people who want to be lawyers should have. Interestingly enough, a lot of the people that I went to law school with are like me. They ain't practicing law. They don't want to. They want nothing to do with it. But the fact of the matter is, the 3 years of law school that results in a JD degree is the natural, at least in my view, it's the natural extension of any liberal arts education. Because it adds to everything you could possibly learn in an undergraduate degree. And, you know, if you're into self-abuse, I highly recommend 3 years of law school. If you're not, then don't. It's nerve-wracking, it's miserable, it's cliquish, it's backstabbing, vicious, yeah, all of the above. But you do wind up with some pretty good instruction on a wide variety of topics, because the law, by definition, in any civilized society, touches everything that society touches. It's kind of like a sort of legalistic antivirus. The law in the United States is the closest thing we have on a secular level to an actual priesthood. That's what lawyers are. They're priests, because the law arose out of the priestly class of the Middle Ages. Lawyering did. Okay, so history lesson aside. I'm really, really troubled by the way the Bradley Manning story is being handled, because it is being handled, some might say, irresponsibly. Others might say that it is being handled in such a way as to maximize publicity and public relations for people besides Bradley Manning. You know, of course, that Bradley Manning is being held in what no one could refer to as anything but harsh and arguably inhumane circumstances. He is incarcerated he hasn't been convicted of anything. Charges are dodgy at best, but he's incarcerated for 23 hours a day and let out for exercise for 1 hour a day. I believe if the accounts I've read are correct, the lights are always on in his cell. He doesn't have a sheet. And the outside world communication is sketchy. His life is like this because he is detained under military so-called justice. And military so-called justice is so-called justice because the Uniform Code of Military Justice isn't exactly a just process. He's there awaiting the filing of charges or of orders of court-martial. And the military, just like the civilian system, has a considerable amount of time in which to make up its mind about what charges to bring. Here in West Virginia, for instance, if, let's say the terms of court are January, May, and September, and you get arrested and charged with a felony in February, well, your ass is going to jail, unless you can make bond. The whole bond thing is not nearly as much of an issue, under the UCMJ, especially in cases such as Bradley. But even in the civilian system, you may not be indicted in May. You may not be indicted in September. You might not be indicted in January. And your ass is going to sit right there in jail The only thing you've got going for you is that you are supposed to, under the rules, you are supposed to be kept segregated from the people who have already been convicted of various and sundry crimes. You are in pretrial detention. But you still get the same orange jumpsuit and orange shower shoes that everybody else gets. You still get fed the same phony bologna, imitation cheese, prison cheese sandwich for lunch that everybody else gets. And it is even harsher in the military system. Now, the odd side of the military system is that you may actually get a better lawyer, because you are guaranteed representation under the UCMJ, and frankly, judges advocate general are pretty good lawyers. You don't just get into the military lawyering gig by walking up or finding it in a Cracker Jack box or a gumball machine. There's a great story in this month's GQ magazine. Yes, I get GQ. Actually, Agnes got it for me. I had some frequent flyer miles from a couple of years ago that they called one day and said, you know, those are going to run out. Well, it's not like he's going to fly with you anytime soon, so she got me a couple of magazine subscriptions. One of them was GQ. And there's a story in this month's GQ about the military lawyer who defended an individual who was taken prisoner and kept at Guantanamo. He was taken prisoner at the age of 12. And it turned out that the government's case was entirely fraudulent. It was a complete dummied-up, faked-up, ginned-up, rubed-up kangaroo court prosecution. And the young man is now free, but his life is a wreck. And you can say the same just about for his counsel's life. Because a lot of stuff doesn't make sense. He got out of the military. He was a Marine judge advocate general. He got out of the military. And when people found out, he went to work for a law firm, and when people found out that the guy who defended the terrorist was at the law firm, they pulled their business. That's how hateful and bigoted and punishment fetishized this country is. It's also a classic symptom of fascist behavior. I highly recommend the article if you can get your hands on it. But anyway, with that as prologue, I don't like the conditions under which Bradley Manning is being held. They strike me as being brutal and inhumane. But I think we do a great disservice to everyone in military custody if we pretend that the only person that's being done to is Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning's problem is a systemic problem and not a Bradley Manning problem. Just as Abu Ghraib was born out of the prison abuses in a nasty little maximum security facility in Maryland where Lindy England and her boyfriend worked. What was his name? Charles Grainer? Yeah. It happens every day in America, all across this country. Because we like to torment people when we put them in prison. And right-wingers say things like, well, if you can't do the crime, can't do the time, don't do the crime. It ain't supposed to be fun. You're there to get punished. Because there's something that happens in the right-wing mind when they think about other people being punished. There's a whole lot of, well, it ain't me because I'm a good person. There's a lot of Job's wifery about this country's attitude toward crime and punishment. And Bradley Manning is caught up and trapped within that system. You've seen the news recently, of course, I assume, that shows that government cannot prove any kind of a link between Julian Assange and Bradley Manning. It may be argued that the government's treatment of Bradley Manning is such that they are defeating his own ability to perform that most crucial of tasks, and that is assist his counsel in his own defense. And that is very important. Because if you can't assist your counsel in your own defense, you can't have much of a defense. Because the lawyer is left sort of casting about and just trying to find the best way to secure justice without the person for whom justice is being sought's assistance. Now, all that brings me to this. This is a quote. This is not from the UCMJ. I didn't look it up. Or couldn't find it. I did look it up. I couldn't find it on the fly. But this is Rule 3.6 of the Model Rules of Professional Conduct, which are in effect to one degree or another all over the country. And they speak to how a lawyer is supposed to behave. And Rule 3.6 says, a lawyer who is participating or has participated in the investigation or litigation of a matter shall not make an extrajudicial statement that the lawyer knows or reasonably should know will be disseminated by means of public communication and will have a substantial likelihood of materially prejudicing an adjudicative proceeding in the matter. Notwithstanding paragraph A, a lawyer may state the following: 1. The claim, offense, or defense involved, and, except when prohibited by the law, the identity of the persons involved. 2. Information contained in a public record. 3. That an investigation of a matter is in progress. 4. The scheduling or result of any step in litigation. 5. A request for assistance in obtaining evidence and information necessary thereto. 6. A warning of danger concerning the behavior of a person involved when there is reason to believe that there exists the likelihood of substantial harm to an individual or to the public interest. And 7. In a criminal case, in addition to subparagraphs 1 through 6, the identity, residence, occupation, and family status of the accused. If the accused has not been apprehended, information necessary to aid in apprehension of that person. The fact, time, and place of arrest, and the identity of investigating and arresting officers or agencies, and the length of the investigation. C. Notwithstanding paragraph A, a lawyer may make a statement that a reasonable lawyer would believe is required to protect the client from the substantial undue prejudicial effect of recent publicity not initiated by the lawyer or the lawyer's client. A statement made pursuant to this paragraph shall be limited to such information as is necessary to mitigate the recent adverse publicity. D. No lawyer associated in a firm or government agency with a lawyer subject to paragraph A shall make a statement prohibited by paragraph A. That last part means that if you're in a firm, you can't get the guy across the hall to say something slimy just because you yourself can't say something slimy. Now, all of that brings me to this. It's a post over at Fire Dog Lake. It started bouncing around. I saw it on Twitter yesterday. I'm going to read you, you may recall, and Sandra and I talked some about this last night, Jane Hampshire and a guy named David House went to deliver on the weekend when the commanding officer, neither the commanding officer nor the base commander, anything, when those guys weren't around, they went to deliver a 42,000 signature petition of people who don't know anything about the criminal law process, either in the civilian side or the military side, griping about Bradley Manning's conditions of incarceration. And again, I have sympathy with people who are concerned about it because I am concerned about it too. But I am concerned about it on the larger level, not just of Bradley Manning, but how we treat all persons in custody in this country. All of them. From the 15-year-old kid who got caught with a $25 rock of crack in his pocket. I'm concerned about that person's ability to receive justice. I'm concerned about Bradley Manning's ability to receive justice. I'm concerned about people sent to death row in Texas whose court-appointed counsel slept through the trial and whose execution orders have been upheld just the same because people like Antonin Scalia say that there is no constitutional right not to be unjustly killed. No, he's really said that. Okay, so this David House person and Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake, who can sniff out a publicity opportunity like a bloodhound, show up at the military base at Quantico, Virginia, with dodgy proof of insurance, something they refer to as only a digital copy. And expired license plates. And they were prevented from going to visit Bradley Manning because they had expired plates and no proof of insurance. Traffic laws apply inside military bases, perhaps more so even than they do on the day-to-day, in the day-to-day civilian world. Because they're military bases. I mean, really, is there a question? Military bases are very authoritarian places. They like their rules. And they're allowed to have them. So they get stopped. And then they create this kerfuffle over not being able to go and see Bradley Manning. But David House says he will go again next weekend, again when, and he wants to deliver 100,000 signatures on the petition. But again, he wants to deliver it at a time when there won't be anybody there to receive them of any official nature. Because this isn't about the signatories to the petition. This isn't about the petition. This is about publicity, not for Bradley Manning, but for Jane Hampshire and David House. So, lo and behold, beginning yesterday, it started banging around the internet, a link to something where the headline says, "Donate to the Bradley Manning Advocacy Fund. Make a tax-deductible contribution for the public defense of PFC Bradley Manning." Now, on first glance, even I, with my own jaded eye, thought, well, that's pretty damn noble. Because I remembered that WikiLeaks had promised something like $50,000 for Bradley Manning's defense and haven't quite come through with that yet. Maybe that's because all of their accounts were shut down and they can't access their money. But there is a legitimate need for a legal defense fund. But then I read this thing and I realized this is not a legal defense fund. Listen. PFC Bradley Manning is in his seventh month of severe isolation at Quantico Marine Base. That is a false statement. It may be severe isolation, but it is not severe isolation. It is arguably typical of the isolation that one charged with a felony may be expected to experience. Again, the problem is one of the system and not of Bradley Manning. When Bradley's friend David House, and we're merely told that Bradley's friend is David House and David House is Bradley's friend, we're not to, oh, we grew up on the same street together. Oh, we went to college together. No, none of that. Just his friend. When Bradley's friend David House tried to visit Quantico this weekend, he was detained for more than 2 hours without explanation and prevented from visiting Bradley. The only problem is there was an explanation, and that is a patently dishonest statement. They were pulled over because they had bum plates and no proof of insurance. That will get you stopped in a civilian situation and double-quick on a military installation. That's what prevented him from visiting Bradley. Because they don't pull you on, hey, did you know your plates are no good? Well, no, I didn't. Thanks for telling me. That's okay, civilian. Move along. Go forth and go and sin no more. No! They stop you. They don't let you drive the car. They tow it off base. What you do out in civilian land, well, that's for the civilian authorities. And then this sentence, there is little doubt David's detention was part of the campaign to completely isolate Bradley Manning. Well, there's a rule of evidence out there for lawyers who do trial work in a courtroom setting where if that was said out loud under oath in a courtroom, one or the other lawyer would jump up and say, I object. That assumes facts not in evidence. There is little doubt David's detention was part of the campaign to completely isolate Bradley Manning. Well, there is no evidence of a campaign to completely isolate Bradley Manning, except perhaps in the fevered imagination of Jane Hampshire and maybe Glenn Greenwald. There is little doubt. Well, there can be no doubt of something that doesn't exist. That's rather logically impossible, isn't it? Now, here's the pitch. Here's where you grab your wallets and hold on tight. The Bradley Manning Advocacy Fund is a new public advocacy effort for Bradley Manning that will organize events, issue press releases, recruit spokespeople to speak out on Bradley's behalf, and assemble researchers and witnesses to help with Bradley's case. In other words, it has absolutely nothing to do with any future possible court proceedings in terms of Bradley Manning's legal defense. Nothing. The Bradley Manning Advocacy Fund is going to solicit monies to issue press releases. It's soliciting monies to recruit spokespeople to speak out on Bradley's behalf. To recruit? Really? To recruit? We're going to pay people to speak up for Bradley Manning? Hell, I'm sitting here speaking up for Bradley Manning and nobody's paid me. And you know what? If you have to pay somebody to do it, odds are it's a little suspect. And assemble researchers and witnesses to help with Bradley's case. That means they're going to pay paralegals? Well, they can't pay paralegals for the lawyer. Because the lawyer would be legally, ethically prohibited from accepting it. We think this fund to advocate for Bradley is deserving of your support. Well, that's a misuse of the word think. That's one of those places where you want to use the word believe. Public advocacy is another fancy way of saying public relations. Who just happens to have a public advocacy organization? Why, Jane Hampshire and Glenn Greenwald do. Hmm. 100% of contributions to this fund will be used to pay... Listen. You know, it's one thing if you don't understand what the word egress means and you cough up a quarter to go see this way to the egress and you wind up dumped outside the circus grounds and have to pay to get back in again. It's another thing if you actually have a modicum of understanding and you still let yourself get suckered anyway. Remember, the prophet W.C. Fields' first commandment is that you cannot cheat an honest man. So let's be honest about this. 100% of contributions to this fund will be used to pay expenses related to the advocacy and defense of Bradley Manning. There is a very important adjective missing from that sentence. And it's absent for a reason. 100% of contributions to this fund will be used to pay expenses related to the advocacy and legal defense of Bradley Manning. Then it would be a legal defense fund. As it is, it's a slush fund. And thanks to the nonprofit group Institute for Media Analysis, hosting the Bradley Manning Action Advocacy Fund, your donation is tax deductible. The Institute for Media Analysis. Well, that would sound like an organization that's dedicated to analyzing media. They certainly don't sound like they're in the legal defense business, do they? No, me neither. Me neither. You see what's going on here? Is the fog lifting? I hope it is. This is a fund whose pitch is designed in such a way as to get people to donate copious amounts of money to support public relations advocacy that has absolutely nothing to do with the trial process whatsoever. In other words, it is a slush fund to raise money to pay people to talk about Bradley Manning. And as sure as God made little green apples, I'm pretty sure that the folks who set this up already have a pretty good idea who the folks are that they want to pay to talk about Bradley Manning. Hint, it's the people who are already talking about Bradley Manning and setting this stuff up. I urge you, I encourage you, to write letters to the base commander, to the President of the United States, to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, if you wish to advocate for better treatment for Bradley Manning. I urge you to. I think it's the right thing to do. Because it will honestly come from you. They will be your words. They will be words that you were not told to say. They will come from your heart and from your mind. But it is my considered opinion that if you give a dime to this thing, you will have been had. You will have been made party to what appears to be a dodge. You will have been, in short, shown this way to the egress. Again, I want to make sure that every word I have said about this does not diminish one iota from the fact that I am profoundly concerned about the well-being of Bradley Manning, and that I consider what Bradley Manning, if he actually did what he is said to have done and has not been convicted of doing, I consider him to have done something fairly heroic. This is on the same level as the Pentagon. This is largely the exposure of the filth and crime and corruption that flowed all over, through, around, and under the Bush administration, and the 8 years in which they flaunted the rules of civilized society and governments among people participating in a social contract. That's what this is. That's what Bradley Manning may have actually accomplished. But this Bradley Manning Advocacy Fund has nothing to do with his legal defense, and everything to do, it appears, with lining people's pockets who are willing to ride on the back of a man in isolation 23 hours a day. They are willing to ride on his back to make a buck. And it is sickening. It's 13 minutes past the hour. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob. Jackson Brown and Lawyers in Love. You know, again, let me just reemphasize, I got a problem with what's how Bradley Manning is being treated. But again, let me reemphasize, my problem is with the whole system and how everybody is treated. You know, if you're out driving around and you've got your window cracked and you're honking on a big number and it smells like a Colombian sauna inside your car and you get pulled over and the cop says, "You smoking dope in here, son?" And you go, "Not now, I'm not," as you swallow the roach. Don't be surprised when he tries to search. Don't be surprised if you get arrested for possession. I'm no great fan of the police, but God Almighty. You know, your problem is not with the man. Your problem is with the man. Your problem is with the dumbass law, the stupid prohibition. It's the same thing with Bradley Manning. What passes for justice in the military is harsh and is cruel. And in fascist America, the military can do pretty much what it damned well pleases. But every now and then, the system works, like it did in the story that I mentioned to you from GQ. So, you know, just bear that in mind. You know the phone number, by the way, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid at gmail.com. Got an email in from our buddy Joe Ray, the foxhole atheist. He says, "Hi, Bob." "Hi, Joe." "I predict that Manning will be held indefinitely without charges until Obama loses to the Republican nut job. Shortly after being sworn in, said Republican nut job will declare Manning a terrorist, and after a swift military trial will be executed. Shortly after this, we will go the way of escape from L.A. Snake! I have those dark moments myself, Joe. I really do. I fear for what used to be a potentially great republic. Flawed, but with potential for greatness. But habeas corpus died during the Bush administration. That we try to get it back is laudable and admirable, and I hope that struggle does not end. But we're living in empire, and this country is behaving as empires behave. And empires tend toward autocracy and heavy-handed and ham-fistedness, if not outright fascism. And it is that way throughout the whole of history, if one bothers to have a look. Escape from L.A. Ooh. So, let's go on. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
I'm still trying to recover from the yo bitches, it's competition. You motherfuckers better get out there and work, 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 work. That's all we got. I mean, the speech was like...
Keebler elves. We're all just Keebler elves.
Much. It was just really sort of... I thought I was waiting for Thomas Friedman to pop up with his flat earth behind Obama. I'm thinking... Good,
well, I saw a tweet last night that says, short version, y'all just go read The Earth is Flat by Thomas Friedman, okay?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just sort of, especially when he was talking about the glories of the Internet, it's like, damn, it's so, you know, what he was talking about is hella cutthroat, and newsflash, unless we're going to work for 25 cents, I'm not too sure how that competition is going to manifest itself. And I fear, you know, the whole song and dance about, well, back in the day when you could get a job, them days are over with. I'm sorry. I am so far gone at this point.
But no, I watched it. It was well delivered. On the strictly what esoteric level, I loved it that he worked in a cry line for John Boehner.
Mm.
Did you see the Boehner's lips start quivering when he started talking about him about the son of a bartender from Ohio can become the squeaker of the house.
God. I mean, it's just, no, but the thing.
And Boehner did that Elvis lip thing that he does when he's getting ready to turn on the waterworks.
He's a freak, that guy. I'm like, yikes. I kept gazing. I thought, ooh, couldn't look at it for too long. But, I mean, yeah, the speech was okay, but I don't know. I'm sort of, what he was talking about the way it used to be, I'm thinking, you might not want to remind people of that. You know what I mean? Because right about now, that's sounding pretty damn good. And his alternative is just some sort of flat earth, Darwinistic scramble.
Yeah, and, you know, every time I heard the word productivity, I knew that Joe Vecchio, our buddy Joe Vecchio from the old Cup of Joe radio show, was throwing a rock at something.
Well,
because he says that just every time I hear productivity, that just means work harder for less, you dumb bastards.
Yeah, and also no discussion on how, wait a minute, we doubled our productivity from the 70s, and where is our share? No discussion that all that share has gone to the top 1%. And the education thing, it was just like some of it was Orwellian, because the race to the top, yeah, right, you know, you just sort of screw the teachers over. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it was delivered okay, but I guess you can't really trust those state of the unions, because we ain't at Mars. You remember Mars?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to Mars.
So, I mean, I know it's just a lot of rhetoric.
Well, I was all for that program, though, Sandra, as long as George went.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, the focus on competition, we already talked about this, that competition for us means working, like your friend said, working real hard for a lot less, and damn it, thank it. And I see that he didn't throw Social Security under the bus, but he did talk about, well, we're not going to fuck over our current seniors. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that got repeated today by none other than Lindsey Graham Cracker. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Oh, no. What did he say? I mean, I'm just saying it wasn't a full-throated sort of advocacy for it. You know, he seemed to leave a little opening, or maybe I'm just being mean.
No, I don't think you are. Lindsey Graham Cracker today said, I've put on the table adjusting the age from 67 to 69. There's an ad running in South Carolina right now from some group on the left with a 59-year-old librarian saying, I'm ruining her life. Well, let me tell you, under the proposal, changes don't affect you if you're over 55. So I'm a reasonable guy. So in other words, what Lindsey Graham Cracker is saying is that he doesn't want to screw over them people who are serious about going to the ballot box. But it's okay if he screws over you, me, and everybody under 55.
Oh, yeah, no, but I didn't, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I guess Obama did say he did say we don't want to slash benefits for future generations. I mean, it certainly was a far cry from what they seem to want to do, you know? So.
Yeah, but when you say I don't want to slash benefits for future generations, what does that mean, Sandra? Well, you know, okay, you're going to collect benefits when you're 72. But we're not going to slash the benefits. We're just going to make them harder to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a lot of sort of mealy words there. And it just wasn't, I don't know, I just wasn't that secure, because I'm still trying to figure out, damn, I got to scramble for that nut in this big competition. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell yes.
But also, I have to go shallow, because, of course, you know, I was looking at the tweets. Listen, that one dude that you retweeted, the dear Congress, y'all, from Clappity Ass.
Oh, he's great. That's a
Clappity, clap, clap up, clap on, clap off. Listen, I was dying. I'm like, what the? It's very funny.
Yeah, that's a guy. That's a guy named Black Canseco.
Okay, yeah, no,
and he is well worth the follow.
No, that's shit. And the other one he did, where he said, "Oh no, brother, you ain't cutting Whitey's army. Basically, you ain't gonna cut that budget." Anyway.
Because he knows what time it is, you know?
Yeah, no, it was just really funny, because it's like, yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? I don't know. I was enjoying all the tweets, and, you know, my head almost exploded when I looked at that Ryan, and then I saw your Monster tweet. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Eddie Monster wants his hair cut back.
No, that fool, and he ain't ready for prime time. That fool needs to sit the hell down. I'm like, bring on Michelle.
Oh, you know, three words into Paul Ryan, and I was anxious for Michelle.
Oh, hell yeah, because she didn't disappoint. What planet?
Oh, you know.
That did not disappoint. That shit was on hit.
I went in, I watched it on the crappy little TV back here, and then I went in and I just, I ran. The minute I saw her, I did one of those triple takes, and ran into the front of the house where the TV's a little bit bigger. And, you know, made the kids turn it off of, you know, the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody or whatever. And, you know, over there to a feed, you know, a bigger screen. And, yeah, I was right. She looked like that dude out of episode 3 of Star Trek where no man has gone before whose eyes turn silver. I mean, she was like, I don't know if they passed through the intergalactic Coral Ridge on the way to the studio or what.
When he got the god power. Yeah, I know that episode.
Yeah, sure. Back, you know, before they got the good uniforms, when they were still wearing the little cable knit crew neck sweaters, when it was apparently still cold in space.
That's right. When that first Captain Kirk got seen to disappear. That period. Yes.
Yeah. And those silver eyes, and she had, and I was looking, and I, Agnes, come here, you got to see this. Because her pupils were like snake pupils. They were elliptical and not round. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I didn't understand what was happening. With, you know, was it raccoon hour? I mean, what was happening?
And her pupils were coming in and going out. And Agnes looked at her and said, oh, that woman's on some serious Limbaugh drugs.
Yeah, no. That was so bizarre. And listen, you know, I don't follow her. I just was watching her because, you know, I just had to check it out because I really don't know. I was not disappointed because, listen, what's the deal with her issues with the Japanese? What's happening there?
No. It's not her issues with the Japanese. She's trying to show that she has gravitas, Sandra, and that she can talk about World War II.
No, but that's the only everything I've ever heard of her. That bitch is talking about that. Period. I'm thinking.
Well, remember we had the bit, and Matt Osborne turned it into an awesome video when she was talking about the torpedoing of the troop transport Dorchester by the German U-2 boats.
But that's some bullshit, ain't it?
Oh, it was total bullshit. So was what she was saying about Iwo Jima. Did you notice she described it as a Japanese incursion?
Well, yeah. All this shit. I was like, what? You know what? Revisionist. Who wrote this script?
Look, you remember the scene. She watched Animal House. She saw John Belushi get up and talk about when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. And you remember the one guy looks over and goes, shouldn't you? And he goes, nah, he's on a roll. And that's what, you know, she heard German, she probably thinks the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Well, no, she's still mouthing that this is the best system. And I couldn't even believe I was hearing it. I'm thinking, are those people, do they really still mouth that shit, telling people that this is the best healthcare system in the world? I really thought we had at least all agreed that there's a problem here. Houston, there's a problem. But she just said that as if it was right as rain. I'm like, oh, no, this bitch and her followers. I know she brings in a heck of money. That's the thing. That's what's scary about her.
And she's got somebody on staff who considers themselves an expert on WW2.
Well, yeah, it's just like the History Channel on steroids with that bitch. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, what? And then the chart. Lord help us with the unemployment chart. That was killing me, too.
Oh,
she conveniently forgot so much. It's like, hello? What are you talking about? I mean, she tried to acknowledge that, well, we had a few problems during the Bush years, but and I love how when it went up, on the chart, it was in blue. Did you notice?
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's keep it simple for the idiots, right? At any rate.
Well, and you realize why why the whole who the hell is she looking at thing took place, right?
Wrong camera, right?
There were two cameras in the room. There was a camera that was going direct to the Tea Party Nation feed, and there was a camera from CNN who completely threw threw any credibility it had right down the toilet by covering it. Oddly enough, the feed was the feed was provided by Fox, but even Fox didn't carry it. CNN was the only network that carried it outside of online with Tea Party Nation.
Yeah, but don't they have some sort of agreement with? I mean, the whole thing is just so despicable because, you know, when did America have a third party? You see what I'm saying? This is the thing. It's such a lie on the face of it because a third party, it's not. It's the GOP. and it's really pissing me off, you know?
Well, and you know, I'm no great fan of the Greens because they don't seem to be much interested in governing so far. But that doesn't change the fact that they are another party in the United States. If the Tea Party got a rebuttal, and the Tea Party's nothing more than the militant, militarized arm of the GOP, why didn't Ralph get a chance to do it?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's just a lie, and it just points to how this country is just morphed into anything these corporations want it to be, because it don't even make no sense. It's not even funny.
Well, speaking of the corporations, did you hear about what got done to Elijah Cummings?
Do I want to know? What's this?
Well, it's already hit the fan. Daryl Issa, of course, has charge of the Oversight Committee now.
Yeah.
And so they were going to have some hearings about the financial meltdown. And so rather than have the ranking member of the minority, Elijah Cummings, deliver a statement in which he alleged that ISA prevented him from subpoenaing a member of J.P. Morgan Chase to come and talk about J.P. Morgan Chase's role in it. Well, ISA just blocked it. He would not let Elijah Cummings deliver his statement at the hearing, and in order to do that, he prevented every member of the committee from offering any kind of a statement, himself included. So they're just going to bring on the witnesses that he's allowed to be brought on, and not a word will be said about it.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, the Democrats never learn. I mean, this is how the Republicans always operate.
Oh, yeah. I remember when John Conyers had to hold a hearing in a mop closet in the basement.
We never heard of the Democrats operating that. You know, it's just it's incredible. But, I mean, they never change. It's always the same. So... And this Issa guy, he's so despicable.
He's a crook.
He's a crook. Straight up crook. And it's just kind of like, yikes. So, I mean, yeah, I have no idea. Do you know what, is Obama at some GM plant today? I mean, what's happening?
Oh, I missed that. He was somewhere on the road. They always go on the road after the State of the Union.
Oh, and listen, so, yeah, you know that, I don't, that advocacy donate shit, that is so suspect. You know, I went and looked at it and I thought, yeah, you know, Bob is on to something, because the language is real fuzzy. You're right about that. I mean, I don't know what to say. I just think that it's really bizarre, because you're right. It's like, wait a minute, why do you need money to talk about this poor man? You got a blog, you got a website, what else do you need? Sorry.
And thousands of readers?
Yeah, I don't know what.
And posters and commenters?
Right, I don't know what the money would be for. You're not paying for a lawyer. So, you know, I do wonder what. I like how, this is tax deductible, but, you know, if you want to give us money, we got to let you know that it's not. That right there should tell everyone, well, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention that. There's a little pitch.
Yeah.
There's a little pitch down there. Contributions to Fire Dog Lake are not deductible for federal income tax purposes. The Bradley Manning Advocacy Fund is a project of the Institute for Media Analysis, Inc. The Institute for Media Analysis, Inc. is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, and all contributions are tax-deductible to full extent permitted by law.
I know. It's like, wow, your Google ads aren't generating enough money. Now you got to get money off the backs of the suffering. I mean, for real. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I have to.
Well, I mean, it gave me no pleasure, but I see something like that, and it ought to have a big blinking banner all the way around it, you know, with the Latin caveat emptor, caveat emptor, caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware.
Yeah, it's
because this doesn't help Bradley Manning.
No, and especially in lieu of, they seem to set up, they seem to have donation buttons about almost every goddamn thing. A few of these blogs, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got an email in from Maura, and she said, I think Sandra should spend some quality time with Ms. Bachman. I fear Sandra is the only one who could get the stupid out of her. I don't know if you could, Sandra.
No, listen, I'm with that one comedian, I hold on to my purse because I don't want to get robbed by these crazy-looking white people because she's too crazy-looking for me. I'm out. No thanks on that one.
And she was that way before she got the Star Trek eyes.
No, I don't understand. But I hear that she doesn't get along with Palin.
Huh? Oh, not at all.
They got issues.
Well, that's why this went down.
Oh no!
Do you not remember a few months ago when it, without naming names, it came out into the for-profit media that the Republican old guard, the GOP, was not going to let Sarah Palin get anywhere near the nomination, and she came out all pissed off and said, "Well, I think if somebody's going to say that, they need to put their name to it so I can know who they are." Don't you know?
That's right. Yes, I do remember.
Well, this is that. This is that, because remember, the batshit crazy Bachman went to New Hampshire where they had a straw poll of Republican potentials. She came in fifth. She came in ahead of Newt Gingrich. She came in ahead of John Thune. She came in ahead of all kinds of people of note.
Yeah.
And so she is the Rube. She is the Judas goat, who is there to take out Palin.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't so funny,
I mean, why else would she have the Sarah Palin haircut all of a sudden?
Oh, God, no. The whole presentation was really doing my head in. She has to be one of the strangest political characters on the scene right now, that Bachman. Man. Hey, listen, I'll let you go, but I have to say, was that Ange who called last night?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, those were nice words, but I don't think she realizes how difficult doing a radio show. And, you know, it's all down to you, Bob, because you can talk to any goddamn person. I'd be hanging out, cussing out people. So it ain't happening. And you know, people need to realize how difficult it is. 3 hours you do this. You either will talk the whole time if you need to, or you take calls from the freaks out here. So, no, it's much more difficult. Well, you and I just happen to have good chemistry. You can't put a price on that, but...
Oh, no, I win the lottery. I'm sending the check and the mixing board, Sandra. I'm sorry, you're hired, you know? That's all.
Listen, it's difficult. I mean, I was a DJ years ago, but it's just music I used to play, right?
Yeah.
So I did some radio, but not this kind of radio. It was like mixing tapes and, you know, cussing people out. That was about it.
Now, you see, I save that for Twitter now. I had some jackass respond to one of my tweets last night out of Wingnut World. And, you know, I just have no patience anymore. I said, what the hell makes you think I want to talk to some fundamentalist right-wing teabag and ass hat?
Oh, right. Because you get all sorts of people trying to latch on, huh?
Oh, yeah. They'll, I mean, I don't have 3,000 followers like Paul Brown, Obama as a socialist of Georgia does. I've barely got any followers at all. But, you know, I just put what I'm thinking out there, and every now and then one of these little teabaggers will just pop into the scene. I'm like, you know, piss off. Because I really, on this program, in my life, I have no time for them. It's too short.
No, I remember that one, that little argument that I caught you were having with some idiot who claimed you wanted to kill him or some madness.
Wished death upon him.
Right, and I thought that whole exchange was funny. Then I went and looked at it, and I'm like, damn, these people are hella stupid. What they're talking about is like, wow.
Oh, go follow that TCOT hashtag sometime. It's a trip to the circus, the zoo, a rodeo, and a church Sunday dinner on the ground, all rolled into one. I mean, get the Jiffy Pop up there, be ready, and just sit there. Holy shit! Would you look at these morons?
Right? No. I mean, that's the thing about all the social networking. You know, it's like, dude, do you really want to put all this out there?
Oh, and I got to tell you before you go. I caught this over at BartCop.com today. Remember when? Dr. Laura went on her 11 uses in 5 minutes word fest.
Yes.
And she had to quit the radio job because to preserve her First Amendment rights. Well, apparently her First Amendment rights are nice and healthy now, and she's back, and she's back, and she's only on satellite radio.
Oh, wow, so it must be nigga, nigga, nigga every day, huh?
No, no, it's the exact opposite. The minute they found out that she was on satellite radio, Howard Stern's people started calling her.
And wow, that play out.
Every call, they called her the C word.
Oh, shit.
And I read this on Bart Cop today, and apparently she responded by saying, "Is that the best you got?" And the guy would go, "No, you're an old hateful C-word into the bargain."
Oh, see, listen, now that's entertainment, but, oh my God, hey, I really should go, but I have to mention, listen, Egypt.
Oh, this is...
Egypt. I'm like...
Well, it goes back to the State of the Union, doesn't it? Did you catch that reference in the speech last night where President Obama said, that we support the democratic aspirations of all people? Wonder if that includes the Egyptians, our buddy Mubarak's people.
Well, I was just reading. Clinton got her ass, she was caught flat-footed. With the Tunisia bit, she didn't know what the hell was going on. Well, she had come out, well, the Egyptian government needs to allow Twitter, because they're trying to block that.
Yeah, Twitter shut down.
And she said, you need to let your people protest about the poverty and repression. I'm like, really, Miss Clinton? How the hell were you like it over here? She ain't got nothing.
Well, see, but I don't think the Secretary of State quite understands that when they protest over there, it ain't like protesting over here. Over here, we protest. We show up with a couple of signs on a Saturday. We walk around for a little bit. We yell some slogans, and then we're gone by Sunday.
And we usually have Daniel Ellsberg or somebody else they can throw in jail. Yeah, I know.
And we got to do that because, we got a MasterCard bill to pay.
Right.
And we got a mortgage and car payments and insurance and all of that stuff. And if we're not back at work on Monday, everything falls apart. But you know what? People in Egypt and Tunisia and Iran and so forth, they ain't got that.
No,
they can come and stay. They can kick the shoes off and stay a while.
No, they battling. No, I was looking at some of the pictures at Al Jazeera. I mean, rumors that the sun has fled. It's all good. Listen, when shit goes bad in the Middle East, it is bad. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah, but by the same token, Sandra, I'm watching Tunisia, I'm watching Egypt, I'm thinking about that story out of Iran from a month or two ago where apparently we took down part of their nuclear research through some sort of rat fuckery, inside job, that kind of stuff.
Cyber attacks.
Yeah. And I'm asking myself, because that's the kind of cynic I am, cui bono? For whom the good? Who benefits out of this?
Oh, no. Listen, no. I think that the stuff that's going on in the Middle East, I'm not particularly, I have no opinion about where it's all going to head. But as far as the U.S. is concerned, they talking out both sides of the mouth because they are too much in bed with all those
thugs,
dictators,
There's only one example in history of an American administration getting it right, and that was Harry S. Truman telling Winston Churchill not only no, but oh, hell no. Well, no, twice. Truman did it twice. He did it with de Gaulle over Vietnam, and he did it with Truman over Iran. And in both instances said, no, hell no, we are not going to interfere in the democratic urges of people yearning to be free.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole Suez, there was a few times in the 50s that it was on hit with the U.S. calling it right. But, I mean, that...
But that went away in a hurry and was replaced by Guatemala and the Mossadegh overthrow and Allende the litany. And the death squads in El Salvador, for which Reagan is almost wholly and totally and solely responsible. And that's the problem we get ourselves in. It's easy to get up in front of the Congress and say that we support the democratic aspirations of all people, but the military, industrial, congressional, the diplomatic, business complex gets real itchy because we know that democracy somewhere else ain't necessarily good for business here.
Well, yeah, and also I don't think the sort of middle class or anything like that is you know strong enough to sustain a reasonable revolution in any of those countries right now. I fear one horrible repression is just going to replace another, because you know the reason why you're having the outburst started with food prices again.
Yeah. But meanwhile, in the midst of all of this, Tunisia and now Egypt, anybody notice what just happened in Lebanon and what's going on there?
Well, didn't Hezbollah actually form a government?
Yes.
And that's not good. That's kind of shaky.
Well, that's Israel will take that as carte blanche to unleash the dogs of war, as Shakespeare said.
Yeah, they've been talking about another war against Lebanon for a while, though, you know. So, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, who knows?
And there's the United States making the same sorry noises. Well, you know, we would be very disturbed by a government that was formed by Hezbollah.
No. They don't have no credibility. Did you see the reports on the Palestinian Authority, how craven that particular group is?
Well, no.
It's incredible how they sold out their people. Incredible. So that whole area is ripe. I can't predict what's going to go on, but none of it's good. Because the Palestinians, there's no way that those people have any leadership at all.
Oh. It's.
I don't know, but the Egypt thing is kind of scary just because of how, what an important.
But look what happens in a place like Egypt or Tunisia. The urges of the so-called radicals are going to be, it's like moths to bright light. You're going to have to send some of your radicalizing agents into Egypt and Tunisia, or maybe even Lebanon. And so that's going to dilute your ability to mess with other things. So again, cui bono, Israel. This all works, and I'm not, I am not, don't want the emails, but all of this chaos on the so-called Muslim street inures to the benefit of Israel, at least in the short term.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, the whole Arab street thing is so condescending anyway. I mean, I always found that whole
Arab street, not Muslim street.
Yeah, I always found that whole sort of characterization really a bit dicey. But you also have to realize that in Iran, I guess them tyrants have gotten such a grip that they're alleviating the people of their fuel and food subsidies.
Yeah, they're locking down tight. But again, that's also a process and a product of the pressures that we have brought to bear. Because again, and a lot of people throughout American history have realized this, boycotts aren't hard on the well-to-do. Boycotts are hard on the people who are having a hard time eating in the first place.
Well, and it's also, and you have to keep in mind that, once again, the neoliberalism rears its ugly head, because that whole rollbacking of subsidies, that's part and parcel of what governments are required to do to embrace the model. And so when I saw that Iran was, rolling back subsidies, I thought, damn, that's messed up.
Oh, yeah, and of course, knowing my penchant for history, I read some story yesterday about how in Alexandria, women are leaning out of the windows of their apartments at above street level, hurling pots and pans down at the police and the paramilitary troops and so forth, and I thought, nothing changes. Because if you go back to the ancient historians, you will find that when Julius Caesar marched his happy ass into Egypt, they did the same thing. There is a fundamental urge among poor people to resist being shoved around by the moneyed and the powerful. And if the very pot that you're going to cook dinner in is all you got, bean one of the bastards in the head with it. It's a deep and profound urge that we don't have a freaking clue about in this country, Sandra.
No, we don't, but, the word today is competition.
Yeah, that's Sputnik moment.
Okay, listen, have a good evening.
You too, Sandra. Bye now. Have you had your Sputnik moment today? Sputnik moment. Jesus. John Fox noting, that Egypt appears to have had it with Mubarak, and it's been brewing for months. I would submit that in many ways it's been brewing for years. Remember, Mubarak had to come in and shore things up after the assassination of Sadat. He's been there in power since, what, 1981? That's a long and repressive regime. Very long and very repressive. And the question is, does the United States have the guts to let this thing take its natural course and see if it winds up in democracy, or do we drive them into the arms of some radical tyrant? Remember the Christmas attacks on the Coptic churches? You know, there was a real inspiring moment that came out of that, when thousands upon thousands of Muslims, who were absolutely sickened by these terrorist attacks on the Christian minority in Egypt, placed themselves, Muslims, in front of Coptic churches as human shields against Muslim terrorists. You know, that's one side of the story. That's one little snapshot that tells you that there is some hope inside whatever was brewing there. But on the other, but we don't know. And the thing is, our track record is so godforsaken bad, it's hard to have any confidence in our ability to get this right. If there's any margin for hope, it lies in the fact that it's not George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush or Ronald Reagan, all of whom respond at the gut level by, well, why don't we kill some of them? Or help them kill some of them. That'll show them. We'll bring them democracy if we have to kill every last one of them to do it. I don't think Barack Obama is quite as ham-fisted. And for the sake of everyone involved, I hope he's not. With regard to the remarks of Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, Buddy Ryan was a football coach, after the State of the Union, Michael just wrote in and said, I couldn't handle watching Bachman, but man, 1 minute into Ryan, and I was having Piyush Jindal flashbacks. Was it just me? Asks Michael. He had that same Mr. Rogers-esque talking down to us like three-year-olds thing going on. I don't know. If he had higher political aspirations, he sunk them last night. Haven't heard Bobby Jindal for president much since a year or so ago. P.S. It's a damn shame Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin don't get along. I'd love to see them co-host a show on the History Channel. Maybe it ought to be at, maybe it ought to be not so much the History Channel, but, perhaps Comedy Central? Yeah. Just had a note saying dead air. I show that I am sending. And signal is still going out. Everybody's still getting the program? No, you lost the stream too? Okay, this is not a good thing. John, you hearing this? Apparently, I'm not sending a show anymore. It's 4 minutes before 8 p.m. here in the Eastern time zone. I show that I'm sending program. The send portion of our software says that I'm sending program. I have no buffering going on my end, and dead air coming at you. John, am I gone for you too? Let me just ask. Oh, I'm still on? Well, that's really weird. Marty still has the stream. Phase 5 in Australia is still getting it. Okay. All right. Okay. I hate it. I worry. I worry when stuff like that happens. Let's go back to the phones then. Hey, welcome to the program.
And now it's time for a moment in food craziness. Food craziness. And this will pick up right off what you were talking about, the Taco Bell meat filling.
Oh, no.
Well, and it's a mixture of idiocracy, too. Apparently, the DiGiorno pizza is not selling as well as they thought it would be. So they have a great idea, Bob. They're going to combo foods together. So the DiGiorno pizza and boneless wings. But wings isn't spelled like Paul McCartney and the wings. It's spelled W-Y-N-G-Z. What world are we living in?
Wings. This exactly. Probably this must mean that they're not actually well. That, I mean, but that's been coming for a while. You walk into Applebee's or something, and you can order boneless wings.
Oh, I
well, no, they're actually little breaded hunks of chicken breast.
Yeah, they claim they're actually white meat chicken fritters in the style of typical buffalo chicken wings. And then the other dish they have, which I think is funny too, is they're doing another combo: pizza and cookies. I guess Toll House and DiGiorno teamed up together. I guess they're selling to the Wake and Bake crowd or something. They know their market, though. They know their market. But I do have to mention this story. It's also food-related. I do have to mention this story because I don't think anyone else is going to mention it this evening. What the hell is going on with Dennis Kucinich?
Okay, flesh that out, please.
He's suing the House cafeteria? People, this isn't an Onion story. For $150,000 for biting an olive pit in a sandwich wrap? Bob, let me say something. This is so unnecessary. It's beyond the pale. $150,000? You don't have that much. You do not have that much dentistry surgery bill there, Dennis. I can tell you that much. $150,000? Come on, Bob. Pain and suffering.
Remember, it's more than just out of pocket damages.
I understand that.
Well, let me. Okay. I've got a little bit of experience down this line. Let me throw a hypothetical or a possible answer at you. The United States government, you know, because of everything that started under Reagan and rolled downhill. The United States government does not operate the House cafeteria. It's a great little cafeteria, by the way. I mean, everything you could possibly, and it's delicious food. Best macaroni and cheese on God's planet. This from a guy with a macaroni and cheese problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's contracted out. So he's not suing the House cafeteria. He's not suing the House. He's not suing the government. He is suing the independent contractor. Probably by way of drawing attention to the fact that this is what you get with privatization. That's my best guess early on, without having seen anything about it.
I'm just saying it's a little suspect is what I'm saying, and I would also pose this to you. Dennis has been known to do things in the past. I remember he was on the Tom Hartman show. And he literally just flipped out. And it's surprising that audio isn't around. He just flipped out and he just said to Tom, "I can't believe you would do this. I can't believe you would do this." I mean, he was just, he goes, "I come on here," and he's known for, he's prone for these types of moves. So I'm saying that it fits the character and the personality of Dennis Kucinich to do something like this.
Well, I have a profound tendency to cut Dennis some slack. I need to study this story some more.
Well, I understand, but what I'm saying is it is characterization of what he's done in the past to me. When I see stuff like this, again, I mean, I go, okay. But, I mean, that's my take on it after reading the story and just looking into it. And, but hopefully, you know, it'll be fleshed out in the future. I did want to mention, the whole thing with the State of the Union and, of course, Michelle Bachmann and her speechifying that she did. Her eyes are currently stuck in the metamorphosis of She-Hulk. That's why her eyes are like that. They just froze when she was turning into She-Hulk. And did you see the fresh? There's a freshman. I don't know if Sandra knows this. I forget her name. Naomi something. But there's a freshman in Congress who has the Michelle eyes, and she has kind of like a Jennifer Aniston do, and even Jennifer Aniston hated that do. So go figure. Maybe. But I mean, if you see her, you go, oh my God. I mean, it's a V moment, definitely.
Well, I mean, I thought I was losing it. I thought maybe, you know, I was getting sick again or something, because she had snake pupils.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. I mean, it reminds me of maybe what happened is they tried to clone Anita Bryant, and this is what they got. I don't know. I think the whole thing is, I was wondering if they were, I don't think, by the way, I disagree with Agnes. I don't think it's the drugs. I think it's contacts or something.
I thought, you know, back around Halloween, every website you went to was selling those screwed up eyeball contacts.
Those Marilyn Manson. She has Marilyn Manson eyes.
Ferg wanted a pair of them so bad, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I don't know, are they on special now? Because you could get those snake-eyed contacts.
Well, you know, she's like a marketer's dream, because immediately we're drawn to her eyes. So what I'm thinking is I watched a prison show, and they tattoo eyes. Maybe she can tattoo her eyes red, and then she'll have that red look with that.
Well, I just can't wait till she shows up with the tattooed teardrop coming out of one corner.
Well, the GOP is very gangster. I could see that happening in a matter of months. But yeah, the whole thing with Paul Ryan, and I think a lot of people need to understand this real quickly, Bob, and I mentioned it before. People, the Republicans, this is like a hobby to them. Do you understand that? I mean, they have a complete revolving door operation. Paul Ryan doesn't care if he's a success or not. He's just getting out the message, and that's the main point. He's getting out the message to the constituents, not to you, not to me, the constituents. Not to the, and you know what? Not even to the American people, to the constituents, the people that are going to look at him and go, you know what, Paul Ryan?
Oh no, Paul! No, the right wing already says Paul Ryan. He's a certifiable genius.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
A smart man. He understands that economics.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the point. And I mean, here's the other thing that people need to understand: Obama buckled to Paul Ryan and his cabal. His economic cabal.
You mean that with the spending freeze? You mean with freezing the salaries of federal workers? Right. And I guess you heard the words, David, of chinless Mitch McConnell lately, right?
No. You're gonna have to.
Chinless Mitch was interviewed by Mike Allen of Politico, and my God, you know that guy's a professional softball pitcher from the word go when it comes to a Republican. So he interviewed chinless Mitch McConnell, and McConnell said, if the president is willing to do what I and my members would do anyway, we're not going to say no. And Mike Allen says, but that's not much of a concession. That's not bargaining to just give you what you want. And McConnell responds, I like to think I'm a pretty good negotiator. In other words, what he's saying is he knows that Obama will cave.
You know, I mean, that's the thing.
Last night in the speech, he started running against the tax cuts for the rich. And he's going to run against them all the way to 2012. And everything from the Republicans from now on is going to be Barack Obama's done said he wants to raise your taxes.
But, Bob, you don't get it. It's Obama ninjutsu. That's what it is. It's Obama ninjutsu.
Oh, stop.
Immediately start striking back. I mean, this is what I have to deal. And I'm sorry, if you lean the tendency to be an Obama apologist and you are listening, I want you to understand something. Obama does not understand the term of baseline negotiating. He doesn't understand it, Bob, because this is completely what the Republicans want. It's game, set, match. Let's try again in 2012, shall we? I mean, that's what this is, people. That's what Obama did. And you keep saying, well, what do you want him to do? Well, here's the point. When you come out like that and you show all your cards like that, all the Republicans have to do is keep saying, not good enough, not good enough. It's that moment where Bill Hicks, Bill Hicks was doing his George Bush impression. And he said, he just said, not good enough, when he was talking about what they would give him with Saddam Hussein in Iraq. We'll do this for you. We'll do this. And that's where we're at. This is his point. And Obama is going to continue to cave. He's going to continue to get this reaction from the Republicans. You know what? It's just not, it's not working for us. And he's going to continue and just continue to give everything that they want because they have everything they want. Now that, you know what my friend said? My friend said, when you're in the business of sales and you make your money back, the Republicans have made their money back, people, but guess what's on top? Gravy. That's what's on top. They're just getting the gravy. That's it, Bob. They're just getting the gravy. They don't care. They won already, people. They won.
They've got to consider they've got to consider their batting average is they're hitting for well above average at this point.
They don't. That's the other thing, Bob. They don't even need to concern. They don't even concern about their batting average because nobody sees them strike out, or they don't pay attention to them.
Toaster moment.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, we've seen the Republicans, and we've talked about it on this program since I've been calling in for 5 years, are the Republicans striking out. When I bring it up to my friends who lean, some lean conservative, they give me this speech, they give me this excuse, and I'm saying, but it's looped ad nauseum into infinity.
And beyond.
The Democrat makes a mistake.
Yeah.
And see that's
it's
the
dean. It's the dean scream school of when it comes to a Democrat. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
loop it.
Look at.
I mean, the orders just come down from the Fox higher up. Loop it. And as soon as Fox starts running a loop of some Democrat saying something that right wingers object to, CNN loops it, CNBC loops it, ABC loops it, CBS loops it, NBC loops it. Everybody loops it.
Well, that's the interesting thing about CNN. They are trying so hard, aren't they? They are trying so hard to be Fox Lite now.
Oh, no. No, just ask them. They'll tell you. They're trying to be non-political and non-partisan. Did you see the team they had there analyzing stuff last night? Piers Morgan, please, Jeebus. Piers Morgan is a political analyst. A guy who just got done interviewing the Kardashians.
Now I bet you that was some riveting. That was some riveting journalism right there. A riveting interviewing. The Kardashians, two of them, Bob. Two of them, Kim and Courtney. Are you kidding me? And they can talk about their obsession that they have with black men. That's awesome.
How do you feel when people tell you you have no talent? What?
Oh.
And this guy is offering political analysis on the best political team on TV? And the other end of the continuum is Eric Erickson?
One last
You know, thing. Between Eric Erickson, Piers Morgan, and just even carrying batshit crazy Bachman, CNN took whatever credibility they had last night and just said, goodbye, y'all, bye, don't come back, bye.
I'm wondering when Bachman is going to get the reality show. And one last thing before I go, you know, Paris Hilton should call up Sarah Palin and she should just say, "I know how you feel," because that's exactly what happened with the Kardashians when they came on the scene. It was Kardashian time, and now it's Bachman time.
And see, I'm so disconnected from pop culture news. For the longest time, I thought Kardashians were still a character on the Deep Space Nine. I tried.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Weren't there some Kardashians on Deep Space Nine or Voyage to Nowhere or one of those other Star Trek spinoffs?
You know,
that I didn't watch.
I hate to say it, but whenever I hear the word Kardashian, I just think of immediately. Jewelry? Kardashian, you need to get the finest in Kardashian diamonds.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely getting crazy out there, and I see they've lined up. They've lined up Bachman. It's, I guess it's official when, and the fact, here's the other thing, Bob. And this is what people, this is the other thing that before I go. The progressives are constantly saying, oh, look at Michelle Bachman. She messed up. Do you remember how many times Sarah Palin messed up? Do you? They don't care. All they care is that you're paying attention to her and making a fool of her.
No, but see, David, I'm still at that place where I say that this is all just stalking horse management.
Oh, I'm. You know what? I'm there with you. But also, I think that this is just a great potential for making and generating lots of publicity and making some money on the side. That's what this is.
Oh yeah, and like Sandra said, she brings in the cash hand over fist.
Oh, and you know, and even if she loses, if she does run for president, or if she does run on the campaign ticket, for whatever ticket she's running on, she can go back to her district and win again, because people are that stupid.
That has got to be an absolute circus tent congressional district.
It does. I mean, well, look where I live now, Bob. Look where I live. People said it wouldn't happen. Well, guess what? The first time in 50 years, we've gone red, baby. In fact, we've gone teabagger red.
Oy. That's just a little disturbing.
It happens in a second, and that's the problem. I guess the closing what I say is you shouldn't laugh at these people, because guess what? They're laughing at you even more.
Right, and they'll laugh you all the way to the re-education or death camps if they get the chance.
Right.
Because everything the right wing, remember when the right wing was touting the Obama FEMA camps?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those things really exist, and they were built under George W. Bush. And it ain't Obama. It's just like, you know, it's just like them hollering about how he hates the Constitution and he's a socialist.
Right.
There's only one group out there that despises the Constitution. And here's a hint. It ain't the Democrats.
No, it isn't the Democrats. It's the...
It's the corporatists.
It's the corporatists, and it's the entitled.
Yeah, because the Constitution gets in their way.
Exactly.
Well, David, have yourself a good night, brother.
All right, later, Bob.
All right, see you. Bye now. Yeah, about 15 minutes past the hour. Open lines if you want to jump into the conversation. 877-443-2366. 877-4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. You know, backing up just a little bitty bit. Oh, and by the way, thanks for everybody who wrote in real quick, like to say yes, they were getting the program. I don't know what that was. A couple of people had to just restart their players, but everything's fine. Tamara wrote in and said, "Me, I'd like to see a lounge act like the old Saturday Night Live skits of Bachman and Palin." Or, who were the two of the more modern ones? Molly Shannon and I can't remember who the other one was that used to do the NPR thing where they'd have Alec Baldwin in, the guy whose last name was Schwetty at the holidays to talk about his Schwetty balls. Yeah. But what David says is true. We laugh, but they're laughing back. Because they're going to make theirs. They're going to get theirs. And they're going to get theirs. They're going to make money hand over fist by teaching ignorant people. Remember the ones that Matt Osborne wrote about who went to college but didn't learn anything there and then went on to become teabaggers? Them. Yeah. The Bachmans and the Palins are going to make their fortunes off the backs of those people. And that ought to give you cold, cold, icy sweats. It certainly does me. 17 past the hour. It's all such a con. And you see it, and I see it, and you wonder if the people in power do. Sarah Palin's never going to be president, neither is Michelle Bachmann. They're just clear. They're just doing some sort of ideological right-wing pig-licking brush clearing. They are making the way straight for the one who comes after. Will it be Mitt? Willard Mitt Romney? With his dog strapped to the top of his car, screaming its poor soul out as it's driven all the way from Massachusetts to Canada on vacation? I don't think so. Huckabee? No, not him either. Newt Gingrich? Can't see it. For a variety of reasons. Michael is right. Piyush Jindal, he dried up and blew away. Paul Ryan, no, that's not there either. Who then? Who's out there? John Thune? I know Maura's been keeping a close eye on him. No. It doesn't grab me. This is going to have to be somebody who knows how to come and talky-talky and pretend a walkie-walkie. And I don't know anybody who is that person except for Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush. Michael is on a roll tonight. BPO. This nation is suffering from Bachmann-Palin overdrive. Oh, for God's sakes. Wait. Okay. Well, that gets at least a brief play, if nothing else. Here we go. Oh, and this kind of works, doesn't it? That's not that. Aw, Bill Gates, damn it. That's not that either. I thought I had some Bachman-Turner overdrive. Yeah, I'll have to get that straightened out and squared away. Oh, well. Bachman-Palin overdrive. We need to work up a parody lyric to You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Palin, you just ain't seen nothing yet. You know what I mean? Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Hey, Cossack, what's happening?
Not much, yourself?
Just trying to stay warm and dry.
Yeah, I understand you guys are getting socked with the snow right now.
Yeah, and this is the worst one yet. The heavy, wet stuff that makes lines go snap. Within a matter of a couple of minutes of starting the program tonight, the power blinked, and I thought, oh, we're screwed, but it's held up so far.
Good. Talking to my buddy in Northern Virginia, and they're talking about over a foot up there.
Yeah, and I mean it. And to give you a sense of what it's like here, there was not a flake of snow. Everything had melted. There was not a flake of snow on the ground when I got up this morning.
Yeah. And now how much have you got?
At this point, every bit of 6 inches so far. And it started from nothing. And the ground is absolutely soaked with water. So when this one melts off, we'll have some significant flooding. And God help the people who are below mountaintop removal operations, because it's going to come off in waves.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the things that people don't seem to understand about mountaintop removal. It's not without its hazards.
It's not without not having hazard. It's all hazard. Well, it's all hazard with a little bit of profit thrown in for fun.
Well, the profit's the most important thing to them. because even though coal is the dirtiest of the fuels, it's also the cheapest at the moment.
It all depends on how you calculate that. They can only get away with saying that because they don't include the they externalize the costs. They don't include the health costs. They don't include the dead people. They don't include the bills that pile up for health care that are associated with it.
Hey, it all increases GDP, Bob.
Yeah, productivity.
That's the problem.
See, and I guess it just shows my shallowness or whatever. But every time I hear, and Barack Obama can't seem to resist saying it, every time I hear him say clean coal, I just get mad all over again. Because I know he's smarter than that. I know he knows that there's no such thing. But he feels this urge to placate somebody that's in his power structure, and it makes me sick.
Well, every time I hear clean coal by anybody, I grate my teeth. It just, how can you possibly say that? Do you have any conception of what you're talking about? Kind of like this carbon capture crap. There is no such thing. I'm sorry. You people aren't, you're just not doing it, man. You're not using your head to say that you have carbon capture when the technology simply doesn't exist. It's like vaporware, Bob.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's more than that, Cossack, because it's potentially deadly.
Yeah.
Because if they try this carbon capture somewhere, underneath anywhere that people live, and it gets loose, they just die. They just die. And insofar as they're all human undertakings, they're prone to be flawed.
Yeah.
Because I know damn good and well we're not going to run these things with the same kind of attention to detail that we even apply to a nuclear reactor. Because I know the coal industry.
Yeah. Right. Well, Bob, that was the whole point behind Chernobyl, was the entire Soviet nuclear industry was built on the premise that since they had socialist science, they weren't going to make any mistakes. Therefore, they would never need a containment building.
Oops.
So they built the reactors without containment. And exactly.
And now Chernobyl is going to reopen as a tourist destination. Did you catch that one?
Not for me. Yeah, not for me.
Me neither.
I've had enough radiation. I can't afford to take any more.
Yeah, I get to the point where I get creeps every time I get another CT scan. They CT'd my abdomen again. I'm like, God, guys, can't we use the MRI, please? Oh, no, that might wear it out.
Anything else? Yeah. God. So I had to go in for a nuclear stress test today. Fun and game. I have to go back tomorrow.
Oh, those are beautiful. Where they, instead of putting you on the treadmill, they give you the stuff that just makes your heart run out of your chest?
Right.
I think I'd rather have the treadmill. But you get to where you can't do them because, you know, the first two steps and done.
Exactly.
You can't sustain it long enough to get a measurement. Yeah, it always gives me the creeps. I've had a couple of stress tests along the way, and it always gives me the creeps because they've got the crash cart standing there, sitting there right next to you. You know, if you fall, don't land on the crash cart because we might need it.
Yeah. And that is kind of scary. You know, you're all linked up to everything, and you're running along as fast as you can to keep up with the treadmill. Hey, guys, wait a second here. And my legs are wearing out.
Yeah, you slow down a little bit, zip, and you're back across the room again.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and there's a link from Sparky in the chat room. Clean coal research at WVU. Oh, hell yeah, they'll take it. WVU gets clean coal research money while one of the banks, one of the BB&T, one of their executives, endowed Marshall University at the other end of the state with a few million dollars to endow a chair and set up a center for the study of Ayn Rand in the economics department.
Oh, Jesus. Ayn Rand belongs in science fiction at best.
No, she belongs in the pulp department.
And bad science fiction at that.
Yeah, you know, Leonard Pinth-Garnell stuff.
Yeah.
Remember the old Dan Aykroyd character?
Right. Yeah, because her science fiction doesn't even hold a candle to, let's say, Heinlein.
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, what was the big thing?
She's a great writer.
In her futuristic world, it was still trains, but the rails were made out of polka dotted copper or something like that. Is that what the premise inside that stupid book is?
Basically, yeah.
Transparent aluminum was Star Trek. That was the journey
right.
home. But no, she had some sort of, because Hank Reardon developed some sort of crazy-ass copper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the problem of it is, Bob, we've let our railroad industry die, essentially, for all intents and purposes. And look at other parts of the world, like China, who's building high-speed trains. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, did that reference to Chinese labor building the railroads across America, did that strike you as just a little bit, you know, was that note just a little bit flatted?
Yeah.
Right.
Just a bit. Oh, we love our Chinese. Look how many of them we let in here. Yeah, look how many of them we killed in the process of building the goddamn Transcontinental Railroad. Duh.
Yeah, I'm guessing President Obama hasn't watched Blazing Saddles lately. You know, where they save the hand car? Right.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't understand how Obama can be as blind as he is. Because he is blind for many of these things. Blind and tone deaf. I mean, and how many times did he say clean coal last night? It wasn't just once.
No, I think there were two. And Agnes had to come running back here into the studio because when he said it, I just did, don't! Ah, don't! And started making, you know, sort of subhuman noises like that. And she was afraid I was having some sort of a problem. She comes around, you okay? Oh, he said clean coal. She said, you know, you behave or I'll take the TV away. And she will. Don't kid yourself. She will. I've been grounded before. It sucks.
Something tells me that Agnes would definitely do that.
Don't. She's mean as a snake when she wants to be. Sadly, I kind of dig that.
When are you guys going on your trip?
I'm glad you asked because this goes toward future scheduling. John Fox is still examining ways in which to do a show in my absence. I will not be on the air a week from tomorrow night because we have to leave. I think we have to leave here at 3 in the morning. The flight out of Charleston is at 6 a.m. We leave Friday morning at 6 a.m., and then the ship leaves Fort Lauderdale the next day. That's a week from Saturday, and we will be back home a week from the Saturday following. I can't wait. With every godforsaken snowflake that falls, I get a little more anxious. I really, really do.
You are going to consume several of the drinks with a little umbrella, correct?
I've promised that the first photograph that gets interneted back will be of Agnes holding a coconut shell with an umbrella in the top.
There you go.
But now, and by the way, bless his heart, Tony gave me a bunch of grief about not working and threatened to have some of his Muslim brothers divert the ship to, you know, Doha, Qatar, or something like that. You know, all in good fun. But I did find out that, no, there's not a prayer. Internet on board the ship is something like $1 a minute.
Ooh.
Yeah. So at the very least, I'll buy a little card or something so that maybe we can get on once a day and send a photograph or something. But that, and Jesus, cell phone, to use cell phone internet or something like that, that's like $3.95 a minute. So, no, I will be largely incommunicado, which is nice because it actually forces me to treat this like the vacation that it is.
Correct. If not, you would be on the air.
No.
I somehow have that feeling.
Well, I'd probably be trying to get away with something, but the dinner hour is between, is at 8 o'clock. And there's a reception every night before that. And then there's an after party thing after that. So, yeah.
You're going to be out of loop for a while.
I'm going to be Jimmy Buffett has a song called Incommunicado.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be that.
And luckily, Jimmy seems to be hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm gonna take some reading material with me. I have, and because I've never read it, I have Tony Bourdain's first novel, called Bone in the Throat. It's a sort of crime thriller. And I'm thinking very seriously about getting the Keith Richards autobiography and taking it with me. I figure those two should provide plenty of reading material.
Oh yeah.
Although, you know what? A little Travis McGee wouldn't be bad either, would it?
No. No.
Who was it? Was that John McDonald? John D. McDonald, that wrote the Travis McGee novels.
Right.
Yeah. That might be good. Or maybe, I was thinking about maybe taking, I mean, we're working on the reading list now, I guess. Our Man in Havana. Isn't that Graham Greene?
Yeah. That'll be a good one.
That could be a good one to have. So we get to get off the ship. We spend all day Sunday at sea. You know, getting our sea legs under us. Monday we dock at Grand Turk. Tuesday we dock in Puerto Rico. Wednesday we dock in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. And then it's either Thursday or Friday, we dock at Half Moon Cay in the Bahamas.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Somewhere along the way, I have to find a dolphin for Agnes.
Yes. And you do realize you're going to have to keep leash on Berg.
Oh. I'm going to take a Thorazine dart and a Thorazine dart gun. Hey, kid. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about the girls, but I know about Ferg.
Oh, he's already bouncing off the walls. We're thinking about taking in some deep sea fishing. He, of course, wanted the ATV adventure, and then I made him read the... Oh, damn, nobody under the age of 18 allowed. Well, never mind, Dad. And then he saw the Puerto Rico tropical rainforest treetop canopy zip line adventure.
Uh-huh.
And he read it for me. No, wait a minute. No, Dad, don't worry about it. And I was surprised. I was like, why don't you want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. That just looks like it's ripe for when vacations attack. He said, I'm part of this family. I know what my grandfather's luck was like. It transferred to you. I've probably got it. Everybody's ridden it safely. I'll be 300 feet above the canopy when the damn zip line will break, and I'll wind up some monkey's buddy. So, I don't know. He's 15 now. Maybe there's a little common sense setting in or something, Kasek.
It gets there eventually.
But no, the first girl not related to him that he sees in a two-piece bathing suit under the warm Caribbean sun, he will lose his mind. I mean, it'll be swing shift Cinderella all over again. Remember the great Tex Avery cartoon? You know, with the foot tapping on the ground and the Chuck Jones little weasel. Yeah. Whoa, boy. Whoa. Oh, and onward to dystopia in the chat room is convinced I'm going to be as red as a tomato after the first week. There is an onboard vat of SPF Avogadro's number with these little things that strap to your heels, and they just dip you by the heel like Achilles.
Oh, that might work. But you're gonna need all the help you can get.
Oh, without a doubt. But I will never be able to properly thank the person who set this all up for us and gave this to us. It will be a life changing experience.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's getting closer and closer and closer. And I don't know, I want to go out and give little offerings to the snowflake gods or something. Just stay the hell away from Charleston, West Virginia, and Atlanta, Georgia, because we got to go Charleston to Atlanta, Atlanta to Fort Lauderdale. And I'm actually more scared of Atlanta, because those guys are clueless in an ice storm.
Oh, yeah. They're worthless. If they get a half an inch of snow, they're worthless. Really.
Yeah. And I don't have one. I'd like to get one. You know those cool Cuban Guayabera shirts, you know, with four pockets that you wear untucked, and they got the embroidery down both sides, and you tuck your cigars in. I want one of those. I want the straw hat. You know, And yes, on Grand Turk Island, my goal is to go and find a purveyor of Cuban cigars. And I will succeed. I didn't say that.
All right.
I'm going to smoke them all while I'm there. See? Yeah. I'm not bringing anything back.
Smoke them while you're in international waters.
Yeah, I'm going to smoke them all while I'm there. Yep. Not bringing anything back. Not even the bands. Not a thing. Convinced? Did I convince you, Kase?
Sort of.
Okay, I got to work on it some more.
Agent Fred is convinced.
There will be no Cohibas. There will be no Romeo y Julietas. There will be no original H. Upmans. There will be no Sancho Panzas. None. None. None.
You're not going to bring back Churchill?
Not a one.
Oh.
Nope. Gonna sit there under an umbrella with a nice cigar and sippy, or a little bit of scotch, it's got to be rum in the Caribbean, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Drink
the Añejo.
Yes, absolutely. And they have some fantastic rum down there, too, by the way.
Well, and, you know, we are stopping in Puerto Rico, and there's a Bacardi distillery tour, but I'm not interested in the distillery as much as the product thereof. And Agnes is going to learn about all kinds of fun rum drinks. Not just pina coladas and daiquiris.
Well, pina coladas are good.
Well, yeah, they are. But, you
know, so is rum and Coca-Cola.
Cuba Libre. But there's a recipe in Hemingway's Islands in the Stream where he mixes gin with coconut water out of a fresh coconut and a little bit of lime juice.
Ooh.
Doesn't that just sound refreshing?
Yeah. I like the way that one sounds.
And it might even be better with the gin than with the, because remember, a lot of those islands were Dutch, and the Dutch invented gin.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I've got all the Jimmy Buffett and Buffett that I could possibly want loaded. And, yeah, I'm ready. I think.
I hope so. I'm really pulling for you on this vacation, Bob. You do need it, definitely.
Oh, so badly. So very badly. Again, I'm not kidding. This is the first vacation we've had in 12 years, and we'll come as close to a romantic honeymoon getaway as Agnes and I have ever had, because we got married on a Saturday and I had to be at work on a Monday.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be nice, at least.
Oh, it'll be wonderful.
Belated. All right.
Well, Cossack, good talking to you, brother, and we will talk again soon, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. See you, man.
All right. Hang in there, Bob.
Thanks. I'll dig out in the morning. Later. The Cossack calling from North Florida. We'll be in South Florida. Ha! Ha! Damn you, snowflakes! Yeah, I gotta do this just for a minute, just for the fun of it. You may have to put up with some of this for the next week or so. Ha!
Miss McGee still in Cedar Key. That's what old John MacDonald said. My rendezvous so long overdue. All of the things I've sung and I've read, they still apply to me. They all make sense in time. But now I'm in Munich, driving by myself down the road with a hole and its songs with no vibrato, taking the long way home. Now on the day that John Wayne died, I found myself on the Continental Divide. Tell me, where do I go from here? Think I'll ride into Leadville and have a few beers. Think a Red River or Liberty Valley. Can't believe the old man's gone. But now he's in Colorado, leaving such a hole in a world that believed that he liked with such bravado. He's taking the right way home. So when I finish that last line, I put the book by itself on the shelf with my heart in it, never wasting time, taking the right way home. I know I'm never wasting time, finding the right way home. Still I am in Comunicado, living next door to a leg with a pen. Such bravado is taking the right way home. Trying to make it, trying to take it, trying to take it home. Trying to make it, trying to take it, trying to take it home. I know I'm trying to make it, sometimes I take it.
Oh, well, I so picked the wrong song. You know, I'm a parrot head from way, way back, and News Ninja Gene sent me a story as the song was running. Apparently, Jimmy was rather badly injured in Australia. He did a... I don't know if he tripped and fell or face planted or passed out or what, but went right off the stage and face planted onto the ground below him, ugly head injury, lost consciousness, taken to St. Somebody's Hospital in Sydney and kept overnight. And, oh, God, I don't know how many Buffett fans we've got out there, but I'm one. And Jesus, I hope he's okay and gets to feeling significantly better. Ron in Raleigh says, gin, coconut water, and lime juice is called sky juice or gully wash. I will remember that, Ron. Oh, I will remember that well. He also says, admit it, Bob, admit it. The vacation comes via the devil himself, Mr. George Soros. I wish. No, someone much kinder and much nearer and dearer. And, well, just well. About 11 minutes before the hour, let's get one last phone call in. Hey, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Are you snowed in, Jim?
Pretty much.
Built the igloo yet?
Niet. No, thank you. I've been over there in the snow. Let me tell you. No. No igloo. I'm just firmly ensconced here.
No steam bath in the banya. No flagellating yourself with the birch rods after or anything. None of that.
I never could get into that. But I'm going to leave that up to the aesthetics. So you're going to take maybe our band and Havana with you?
Wouldn't that be a dandy out to read in the Caribbean?
That's a wonderful movie.
Great book, too. Graham Greene?
Mm-hmm. I think that's the movie was with Sir Alec Guinness and Burl Ives.
I'd forgotten Burl Ives was in that.
Yeah, he was one of the operatives. And also, who was it? The British... God. Brain fart moment. Noel Coward was in it, too.
I'll be damned. Okay, that goes on the list. That's a must-see, but I got to read it first.
Wonderful film.
Have you ever traveled in that little corner of the world, Jim?
Yeah, I've been down there.
Any tips? Any must-sees? Any must-dos?
This was so long ago. The first time I went to the Bahamas was like between my junior and senior year, and we went to Nassau, and they were making Thunderball.
Oh, wow.
So I got to watch some of that stuff and got a pretty bad sunburn, but then I found out you don't get sunburn in bars, so I retreated to that particular part of the island.
There's that steel trap mind we know and love.
But anyway, I say bon voyage. No, but going back to Michelle Bachmann, I mean, she is truly a piece of work.
She was much more entertaining than the guy with the Eddie Munster haircut. I got to say that.
Well, I know. When I looked at her eyes, I said, what is this? You know, it's either something from the Cat People or Cleopatra.
Or Eyes of Laura Mars. You know, what?
Yeah. I mean, good God in heaven.
I kept wondering, if you held a mirror up to her, would she turn to stone?
I probably would. Probably would. And then her bar graph chart, I mean, that was just truly remarkable. And,
you don't just get those on a street corner, do you?
Not really. I mean, I just wonder who did it for her. I mean, and her knowledge of history is just, again, truly remarkable. Origins of slaves in this country and this, that, and the other. I mean, I thought to myself, good God in heaven.
Well, I know that you yourself are a student of history, Jim. Did you just run screaming around the room when she talked about the Japanese incursion on Iwo Jima?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just went to the refrigerator and put some more ice cubes in a big glass of scotch and water, and I said, what the fuck is this? Excuse my French, but that's exactly what I thought. And, you know, the main thing about it is, I don't know if the Republican Party wanted her on there or not.
Oh, no, they did not.
But it was CNN that insisted on having her there, I guess, for their fair and balanced reporting to get the, you know, the Tea Party people happy or whatever. But I thought, you know, basically, she sort of just made a fool of herself.
She absolutely did. But, you know, that's an interesting point about CNN because nobody else covered it. Therefore, they among the cable news, I haven't seen the ratings or the numbers or anything, but I would assume they kind of won that little match. Because everybody wanted to, you know, everybody that watched, everybody with a half a brain, Jim, that watched Michelle Bachmann did it for the same reason that people go to NASCAR races, to watch the wreck.
It was just P.T. Barnum night with her, as far as I was concerned.
I mean, I spent, you know, however long it lasted, I was like, we're over here, Michelle, over here!
Yeah, I was sort of like drifting through a bottle of speech, and I thought to myself, some style, some substance, not enough of either. But I said, oh, well, what did you expect? Everybody I talked to during the day today, they just fell asleep. You know, Obama was just a terrific, soporific to them.
Well, all of that world of the future stuff just didn't. It didn't do anything for me, but apparently a lot of America really dug it. But again, I say that's because they've never heard a really great speaker. But going back to Michelle Bachmann, bless her heart, did you notice the practiced hand gestures, Jim? She looked like a 19th century sixth grader reciting The Wreck of the Hesperus.
Yeah, she did. As a matter of fact, I was just so absorbed in her idiocy and some of the stuff she was saying that, you know, her hands and, you know, her eyes and, of course, the camera angles, I was just totally incredulous. And I said, you know, it's time for me to go to bed. I don't need any more alcohol tonight. I mean, this is enough. It was just another dog and pony show to me. Maybe I'm just so jaded and so...
Well, you spend enough time inside the Beltway that you probably are a little bit jaded.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, some of us political juveniles still enjoy going to the circus.
Yeah, you know, they had a very interesting documentary on John Kennedy today and the way he handled people and the way he spoke to people and this, that, and the other. And I was just going back and forth between John Kennedy and... Obama, and I thought, oh, Lord, at least I was alive in a time when I could really see a president who could handle himself in front of the media and could deliver a good speech. And, you know, the main thing about it was his speech was just not rhetoric. It was reality.
Well, indeed, and I suppose... You know, with the Apollo language in the speech last night, Obama was trying to conjure a little bit of that. But.
Well, I think he was. But then again, they were pointing out in the critiques afterwards that it was Reaganistic.
Oh, of course they were. And I'm not being mean to you. But everything has to be a Reagan reference. When are we going to just get it over with and deify that man? Just build the temple and have done.
Yeah, get the glass coffin out and get those people who used to preserve Lenin's body and see what they can do for him. Hell, they did a good enough job on him as far as I'm concerned when he was alive and in the White House.
You know what? It might not be a bad idea because then all the Republicans in Congress would have to spend their time doing the bowing and scraping in front of the glass coffin, and they couldn't show up to work in the House and the Senate.
Well, you know, I remember the 1982 speech he gave about Star Wars, and a friend and I were sitting there watching it, smoking a doobie, and the remark by someone in the room was, has this man been embalmed?
I know. Corbomite, just like Han Solo.
Honestly and truly, I mean, you know, when he was going on about all these particle beams and this, that, and the other. And I thought to myself, and I never will forget this, this is 1982, and I thought, what is this man on?
Well, no, you know, this ain't Hopalong Cassidy. This wasn't Roy Rogers. You can't shoot bullets with other bullets.
No, you can't.
Which is what that was. Hey, Jim, I got to get out of here. We're right up against it. But thanks, my friend.
Later.
Take care. Bye now. And a last email before we call it quits from Michael. Forget the shark. CNN jumped the fox. Note, new meme. They jumped the fox. Put that one to work, will you? And, hey, look, during the entirety of the program, we never did get number 23, 22, 21. We didn't get any. Wouldn't it be nice for me to be able to shut up about fundraising for the month of January for a few nights? Wouldn't that just be pleasant? If you feel so inclined, join the nifty, thrifty 250 with the PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com. Time to get out of here. Rick Smith is on the way. Thanks for everybody. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. You who spend your time, the most valuable thing you have, with us first and foremost, as well as Lottie in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan, our blogger Texas Betsy, my head writer David in Tennessee, who's taking a few nights off, our op-ed columnist Reverbo, Matt Osborne at osborneinc.com, John Fox and Ben Birch, who do so much technically to make all of this go. I can never say enough good about them. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.